The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
C.D. Lamb, touchdown.
Parsons has sacked it. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a Tuesday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, in the SWBC studios. Welcome in, everybody, as we get you ready for the NFL draft coming up in a couple of days. We've got news and notes to hit, and we've got a whole lot more. Alongside Nick Harris, John Mashoda, I'm Kyle Yeomans. Chip Jazz is in the back. Jasmine Marshall running the board today for Chris Beam. And then, Isaiah, did you know that there's no weapons allowed in the building? Are you aware that you are not allowed to carry on site?
I thought OTA started, Kyle.
That doesn't mean you can show up sleeveless.
Yeah.
It's warm outside. It's going to be 88 degrees and like 100% humidity today.
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm in a hoodie and jeans.
Yeah, that's
so
bad.
That sounds
bad.
Great.
You gotta talk to Alexa when you first wake up.
When I pulled in the parking lot, he was out in that back far parking lot just running with one of those parachutes behind him.
Oh, nice. Getting some work
I'm
in.
I'm trying to get a contract, man.
You're on the bands with Britt Brown, like working through.
Listen, man, the offseason, my pockets is light. I'm trying to find some way to get something in there.
You said the Cowboys aren't making any signings. No. Maybe that means there's a door.
Yeah, same, man.
There's
sometimes
an open opportunity.
Need a little
here.
Window to be cracked. That's all I need.
There's
get my fingertips
spots.
In there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you draft's not going to fill them all.
We're going to talk about maybe filling as much of those as possible. How was Cali? How was California?
It was a good experience, man.
Yeah.
Definitely blessed to have had the opportunity. There was 25 former and current guys, mostly current guys, that were down there for the broadcast boot camp. It was literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where every executive in sports broadcasting was in one building.
It's awesome.
One room. It was kind of crazy. You know, we go to training camp, mm-hmm. and, you know, you might meet somebody from a big network and, you know, shake their hands like, oh, that was cool. That was so-and-so. It's like, this is literally everybody in one room. So it was pretty awesome to be able to have that platform, get feedback, you know, work on your craft, you know, get suggestions, get wisdom from literally the goats of the industry. So definitely was able to gain some knowledge and bring it back here and try to continue working on the craft, and pretty dope experience.
Did you get tight with anybody when you were out there?
I talked to Andy Dalton a lot. I mm-hmm. talked to Chase Daniels a lot. Turin Armstead
Chase
down
Daniels.
There.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Raheem was down there. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw that picture of all you guys. It was kind of like the picture at the owners' meetings where they have all the coaches there. And
yeah.
so, like, you always sit there and you're like, I'm going to try and name everybody that's
everybody.
In this picture. And I mean, there's a lot of
notable guys.
Yeah. Was Cam Jordan there?
Cam was there.
Okay, yeah.
He's just a natural.
Andy Dalton's letting the hair go out there, I noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like an AI-created person.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
No, but there was a lot of guys. Honey Badger was there.
Oh, yeah,
that was cool to chop it up with him. He's
That's
a chill
cool.
cat. But a lot of current guys. And then had some legends and worked with. I saw like guys like Chris Myers was down there.
Yeah.
Maria Taylor was down there working with us.
Chris Myers is a legend.
Yeah,
he doesn't get as much love as some of the other broadcasters in the business, but I think he's tremendous.
Yeah.
A lot of guys that you would have fanned out on. That was pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, and I've gotten, I mean,
play-by-play
throughout
guys.
The years, yeah, you've gotten to know a bunch of those because it's such a small world yeah. between play-by-play guys, but they have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
I just know who they are, and we've run into each other a yep. couple times, but really cool. I will say, just based off of the photos, you were the best dressed out of anybody during your on-camera segment.
You
looked great. The pink suit was very nice.
Thank you.
Three-piece.
You still – exactly, three-piece. We're not talking about just any regular day. Also, you didn't look nearly as good as you do in the Cowboys
no.
set.
No,
so,
of course
just
not.
So you know.
Yeah.
Like, don't go anywhere anytime soon. Appreciate you. We need you for pregame.
I got Jib Jazz in the back. I can't.
Yeah, can't get out of here that easy. All right, let's get to some news and notes. Nick Harris, what's going on with the Cowboys recently?
Yeah, so a voluntary workout started yesterday, yesterday being Monday. A couple of notable omissions from workouts, Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. Reports suggesting that CeeDee Lamb is potentially starting a holdout for a new contract. We'll see how that kind of comes to fruition. I think it's interesting. You look at the landscape of receivers right now, and this is starting to kind of be the expectation with these fifth-year guys. So Justin Jefferson didn't show up yesterday. It was just reported this morning. He's not a fifth-year guy, but Courtland Sutton didn't show up yesterday to the Broncos voluntary workouts. Now, keyword voluntary, obviously, but whenever there is those reports being thrown around, and then you look at Micah Parsons, and it's like that's not contract related. They were very adamant about that, just being what his process is. And he did the same thing last year, kind of takes his own training regimen. I mean, it worked for him last year. I think he needs to find something that can get him more prepared for the longevity of the season, because you know I think I've talked about it a few times on the show where he comes in those first 10 games of the season and is firing, but he needs to find something that kind of keeps him going through those 17, 18, 19 games, however many games you decide to play in a season, I guess, before you get burnt out, right? But I think it'll be interesting to follow both of those as time goes on. CD will be a fascinating one. He's due for that $17 million fifth-year option this year, but obviously worthy of a big-time extension that can make him the highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL. Justin Jefferson's in that same boat. I think Jamar Chase is in that same boat. You got T. Higgins who's approaching playing on a franchise tag. So there's gonna be a lot of moving around with this wide receiver market, and we're finally starting to kind of see the chess game from the receivers, and it's starting to kind of come to a head there. So we'll see. There's a lot of time between now and training camp, but we'll kind of see how that coincides when time goes on.
So with all that being said, is there any level of, I guess, concern whenever it comes to CeeDee Lamb? Because it is the norm. This is not something that's unexpected from 4- and 5th-year guys going into these contract years and the options that they get, especially if they were a first-round pick. Is this something we expected moving forward?
Expected from CD if he didn't have a contract by now, yeah, for sure. But I don't – yeah, it's an issue if they don't get something done, but I just don't see a lot of gray area here. You know where he stacks up with the best receivers in the game. So that contract needs to get done. I completely understand him not being here. Completely understand it. But there's nothing that's happening that they didn't know that, hey, if we don't get a contract done with him by the time, I mean, like I said last week's show, Zach Martin showed you, if you don't show up to training camp and you're a key piece, obviously that's a key part of it. You're not just going to be some guy that's low.
Yeah, sure.
But if you're a key piece like that, you're going to get your money. They're not going to go into the season without you playing. They need you, you know? So I don't think fans should take this as CD's not a good teammate or something like that. Yeah. That's not what this is. I mean, he is held up his end of the bargain. He deserves to be paid like one of the highest paid receivers in the league. I completely understand where he's coming from.
Speaking of held up, do you feel like this, just because he's missing voluntary workouts, do you think this is headed for a holdout at some point down the line? I mean, I know it can get there, but do you expect that from CeeDee Lamb?
I do not expect that from CeeDee Lamb. I think if this conversation transitions into Micah at some point, then yes. But CeeDee, I don't foresee that happening. I just think it's a very interesting conversation when it comes to these contracts and guys holding out the year before their contract's up. Do we need to change contracts? Like, if this is becoming the standard, you know, if you got a 5-year contract and a year four, you're like, hey, yo, run it back. You know what I'm saying? Like,
tell them to bring me my money.
You're like, well, this is year 4 or 5. Year 5 of 5. I don't know. I just feel like conversations probably need to change in regards to contracts, and being that this is becoming the norm, not saying that it's bad on his part. Mm-hmm. I just think that whatever the Cowboys feel is best and whatever CD feels is best for equal parties, that they need to do that. But I do not foresee CD holding out. I envision that being the case for Micah at some point in time. I truly do.
I can see him holding out a mandatory OTAs here. I mean, we're approaching about a month out from that. I could see that. But I mean, if we're talking about training camp.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking like Zach Martin level of holdout.
Part of me thinks he can, and because that'll be his leverage. And,
sure.
But also on the same token, like you said, I think maybe you said it, John. He's going to play. Like he's going to be there. But I don't know. At training camp, I would kind of go 50-50. But mandatory OTAs, I don't think he's there.
You don't think?
Oh, I think it's beyond 50%. He won't be at training camp. I'd be surprised if he's at training camp if he doesn't have a contract done.
Do you think it's possible with the current situation that a deal is done before training camp?
Oh, yeah.
Or early in training camp?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
even with the current salary cap?
I mean, it could be like the Diggs thing where it happens right before camp starts. You know, I mean, you know, let's be honest. This offseason, there hasn't been a lot to be really excited about. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones likes the fan base to be excited going into training camp. I could easily see something like that being done. But when you say about the contract thing, like about the, you know, 4 or 5 years coming after four, I feel a little bit differently. And I'm not saying everybody should feel this way. Just if you're coming off of this is your rookie contract, this is like your real big payday. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no issue with any guys doing that. And to be honest with you, I judge things so differently. And I don't know if it's just because of covering this team, but when you're one of that, like, top, you know, whatever, 5-10%, there's so much more I allow. Sure. You know, there's so much more that I'll put up with when your talent level is at a certain level, just because, let's be honest, at the end of the day, this is a business about winning football games and having the best players. So it's where you get a trickle down to, like, you know, some people that maybe aren't in that top 5 or 10. I think that's where you have, like, a real issue. But for this particular team with, let's say, you know, like a Dak Prescott or a CeeDee Lamb, I don't have any issue with it as a business.
I'm less concerned about CD's situation, and I'm more concerned about Micah not being here this year in particular, not from the physical standpoint, but from just the mental aspect, especially with Zimmer coming in. Mm-hmm. I think that's
a good point.
The missed opportunities for him to build a relationship with him, not to say that he can't, right? We're in 2024. There's Zoom, there's cell phones, FaceTime, you know, whatever else, you know, other methods of communication where they can connect. But having that in-person connection where you're building a relationship with this new play caller who's going to be the one who's tasked with putting you in position to be successful, and all the intricacies that come with what he's going to expect of you, I think is important for him to be around this year, this offseason, just because of what's on the line.
Does it matter to you with the leadership? You guys care about that part of it?
Not with him. Not with him. I think he's again, we're not in the locker room, but I think he's more of a lead by example type of guy in terms of his production.
Play
like,
on the field.
Yeah, like play on the field, not necessarily the other things that go on in the locker room. I think you have D-Law and guys of that nature for that. But I do believe that there may be a hit that's taken by him not being here and being present and working with Zimmer and meeting with Zimmer on the regular and his new staff and everything that comes
Real quick off of that, what about 2 years from now? Let's say D-Law's not here. Mm. Micah gets the huge deal. Mm-hmm. Highest paid defensive player in the game. Do you think he needs to be at all this stuff if that's the case?
I think it changes in that regard, yes. Okay.
Yeah. How much of the pressure is on Mike Zimmer in this scenario to make sure that open communication is had and is met? Because it takes two to communicate.
No, you're right.
No doubt. I mean, everybody that's married knows that one. It takes two to communicate.
You're going to be in trouble when you get home.
No, it's true. It's true. She would agree with me. She's probably told me that in the past, and we've communicated. It's been great. But it's the way that has to work out and work seamlessly going into training camp, going into this season, because you don't really have a whole lot of room for error anymore. Especially if you're Mike Zimmer and you're number one, especially if you're trying to stop the run.
Especially if you're McCarthy.
You're Mike McCarthy. Even if you're Micah Parsons, you can have a little bit of a room for error if you're Micah Parsons. But you want that contract. You want to be the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. And in order to do that, he still has to produce and still has to be that guy.
I am watching this situation with my eyebrow raised. I really am.
Micah
and Zimmer.
Yeah, gotcha.
I am still in the belief that I believe in Zimmer as a productive defensive coordinator. I'm not convinced yet, as I stand on it today, like I did before when the hiring was going on, I'm not convinced that his style is going to work with this generation of player. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not convinced yet.
You have been on that.
I am waiting to see, and I hope that it works out. I truly do. All right? Big fan of obviously the Cowboys. I hope that it works out, but I have no evidence to show that that's going to work out. And when your best player is not present, it's really hard to build that bond during these months, right? Yeah. You don't want to wait until August to try to figure that out. You would like to have whatever disputes and disagreements and understanding of personalities and how you guys communicate together figured out prior to training camp. Trying to figure that out at that time is going to be difficult. And again, that's not to say that there's not other forms of communication, but there is something to be said, and I don't think anybody would dispute that, with being in person and being able to walk over into somebody's office, sit down and have a conversation with them. And I'm not sure that that's going to work. And I'm sure we'll talk about some of these guys' position changes and things of that nature. It sounds as if we're getting to 3-4 territory. And we talked about that prior to him getting hired, that this roster that he's coming into is not built for 3-4.
Yeah, at all.
And the pieces that you lost this offseason, if you were going to enforce a 3-4, you lost some very important elements and instrumental guys for a 3-4 type system.
Hankins, Dorrance, I mean, Layton, if he was still healthy.
So I am watching this entire situation with my eyebrow raised, and I am curious as to how this thing's going to pan out. This draft, the rest of this offseason is going to be very intriguing to see what happens there.
I think draft will probably answer your question, though, as far as scheme and where they could be headed there. Depending on where they value certain positions on which days and things of that nature. I mean, when do they go get a defensive tackle? When do they go get a linebacker? If they go get another one. So if they go get another corner, I think that could probably tell you a little bit as well. But you talked about this this generation of player and Mike Zimmer having to kind of relate with that. I think whenever you look at this defense, it very much resembles this generation of player as well. This defense specifically, it's a young defense overall. Yeah. Like you do have D-Law, a veteran. You got Eric Kendricks, who's a veteran who will be coming in. But overall, the mentality of that defense, it's a young core. So, definitely gonna have to be able to relate with it and be able to coach it and have that respect be kind of reciprocated in the same sense.
It's funny you mentioned the NFL draft. It's funny you mentioned positional values.
Yeah, what's that?
That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. We're going to give you a little NFL draft preview, talk about some of the needs. Is an offensive lineman an absolute lock with the first round pick? We'll tell you when we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This portion of Talking Cowboys is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Yikes. You got him in last week.
Yikes.
When you were in Cali, you bragged about it. Mm. You brought in the guns this morning. Mm.
I did not, Kyle. Mm. Disappointment, I know. I'm sorry, Quaker Oats. I do not have any RTGs.
I'm going to bring just a box in here and see. Would you eat?
Is it RTG or would it be RTE?
What are you talking about?
I don't even know what. What are you referencing?
So, like, drinks, like, if you have like a energy drink, right? It's a RTD. It's a ready to drink.
Oh, ready. Yeah.
So, you got the RTG is a ready to go, you know, or, you know, RTE, ready to eat. I mean, how would you categorize that? No.
It'd be an RTE. It's a food.
Ready to eat. Yeah, ready to eat. So, what did you eat?
John's more of an LTE guy.
What did I have this morning? I had a banana.
I'm an NEB, never eat breakfast.
I had a protein shake. I haven't had my fair share of breakfast today.
Oh, like, what are we talking about? Like, you wake up in the morning, first meal. Like, what are we talking? How many calories do you think you're putting back?
I don't count calories anymore.
Oh, okay.
But usually it's like for like my 5 a.m.
You think this man is counting calories? So like today's just seeing what's on the shoulder here.
Today's my 5 a.m. day where I have to be at work at 5. So usually I grab an apple on the go. I drink like 32 ounces of water within the first hour, hopefully. And then I get a shake in. That's usually like my first couple hours, and then I try to find some food.
Yeah.
I've got a couple 5 a.m.s coming my way pretty quickly.
Yes, you have a lot more than 5 a.m.s.
Yeah, exactly. 2, 5, 8,
11. 2:33.
All right. Let's talk about the NFL draft a
little
bit. 3:33. Seriously.
3:33. Is the offensive line position an absolute lock for the first pick of the NFL draft?
I hope so.
For your Dallas Cowboys. We haven't talked a lot of draft, but what we have talked about on this show is offensive line. That is the number one concern early and often. Has that shifted at all for anybody?
No, I don't believe so. Is it a lock? I would say it's probably 80%. In my opinion, I think a scenario that you could see it not be offensive line is if you know, a lot of those names come off the board quick, those top offensive line names, and they decide to trade back, and whenever they trade back, they lose even more names off that board, and they end up falling on a defensive tackle or a linebacker or something like that. But I think there's probably an 80% chance they go ahead and grab an offensive lineman. I think the question that I'd kind of like to pose to the table is, if you could place one guy on this offensive line who could be a day one starter, maybe not Tyler Smith production, but in that same realm, in that same stratosphere, would you rather have that a tackle, guard, or center?
Hmm. That's a tough one. So, like,
from the draft?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From a first round pick. Or, yeah, draft in general. I mean, specifically a first round pick, but draft in general.
Yeah, because you would expect it to be a first round pick for immediate production. But you're talking about what Tyler did in his rookie season?
Yeah, maybe not to that extent, but, you know.
Because I think expecting any first round pick to be an all pro is asking for a lot. Is it possible? Absolutely.
This franchise is known to do it quite a bit.
Very good at it.
You guys think it's close?
I'm thinking left tackle, but center is a problem right now.
Left tackle.
See, but center is still a problem.
It is. This team will recycle through centers every 4 years if they have to. If you get a left tackle like on the Tyler Smith thing, you got that guy for like 10, 15 years.
I think
at one of the top probably three most important positions.
I agree with you. I think it's left tackle because that's a top three or four position in the NFL. But the amount of conversations that we've had on this show specifically that is centered around the offensive line has been more focused on the inadequacies at center than it was at left tackle. Now, part of that is because there was Tyron Smith and he stayed healthy for at least the majority of the 2023 season. But even when he went out and back and forth, I still think we were talking about center.
And also,
you're still talking about wanting a big, burly center.
What's the longest tenured center that they've had? Biadasz was probably 4 years. Well, how long was Frederick? 3-4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go Andre Girard. I mean,
Dre.
I mean, seriously, like I'm trying to think of the last time they've had like a long term center.
Yeah, Dre was here for a minute.
Interviewing him tomorrow.
There you go.
Quick little side.
Quick
note.
Flex.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting for a deep blue. Yeah,
nice.
But I think you also, to that same point, you could have the left tackle in the building already. I mean, I am team Tyler Smith left guard.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, I think there is a realistic argument to be made that he could be that left tackle for the long term, you know?
Oh, I even think there's an argument to be made that, as much as people aren't going to want to hear this, but I wouldn't be surprised if the left tackle they really want isn't there, and they end up moving Tyler Smith out to left tackle for a year, and next year, if depending on where they're drafting at, then they take the, like, I don't, even if they, let's say like this season upcoming, Tyler Smith is their left tackle. That doesn't mean that I think that, oh, well, no, that's just permanent. Where he'll be.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were at the combine and Steven said the thing about the comp to Larry Allen, that's one of the first things I thought about. I'm like, oh, that, I could see them doing that for a year where they put him back out there because the right player that they like didn't fall to him. Say, I'm not saying that that isn't going to be their goal. I'm saying that, that being their fallback plan.
So they circle back on Kelvin Banks next year. Whew.
That's a good one.
Oh, man, that would be fun.
Would we be high enough for that?
No, yeah.
Hopefully
not. Probably not.
Hopefully we're not high enough.
The original question you said, though, about the position, and you mentioned defensive tackle, so I thought about this. I feel like myself and a lot of people that follow this team probably lean towards the offensive line because there's been this success drafting these offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. You are confident when they take one in the first round. If you had that same confidence, though, about defensive tackle, let's just say, just throw out Byron Murphy just for an example, okay? If you knew he was going to be the man, like, oh, no, this is going to be one of these, like, top defensive tackles in the league for, like, 10 years or something, you could talk me into that being the pick. No, no question. It just, but we haven't seen them use a high pick on a defensive tackle that's been that guy. And so you're kind of like, yeah, I don't know if that's the direction you go. But if you told me that the left tackle is going to be really good, the defensive tackle is going to be really good, I'll be like, oh, no, give me the defensive tackle. I know they can find that left tackle. It just It's been a long time. Like, you talk about the center going all the way back to Andre Girard.
Yeah.
When's the last time they've had a defensive tackle? You're like, no, that guy's going to be here for, like, you know, 10 years. Yeah. Like, this is the guy in the middle.
It hasn't been there forever. I mean, it's been a long, long time since you've had
it. Is Murphy or anybody in this draft on that level, do you think, or could be on that level?
At the defensive tackle position specifically? The thing about Murphy is he's a true three-tech, and the other first-round defensive tackle is also a three-tech, Jerzon Newton out of Illinois. So it's like, yeah, you could draft him, but how are you going to get him on the field? Do you want him to play at one-tech at 290 pounds? Like, I don't know. It'd be tough to sell. But
we were to find somebody big because based upon what we're hearing in terms of this scheme – possible scheme with Zimmer, you don't have that guy on your roster.
You don't have the beef.
Yeah, at all. At all. You might need to get two of them in the draft.
Oh, no. You need two.
Yeah.
But you also need two offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And you also need a running back. And you also need a receiver.
Yeah.
So let's rank those.
Tier one needs.
Let's rank these.
Tier one.
And a DB.
Okay.
And a linebacker. A couple linebackers.
Yeah, a couple linebackers.
You don't have enough draft picks.
Yeah. Trade down. Anyways, the linebacker, offensive tackle, interior offensive line, defensive tackle, and running back. Those are five spots of need.
I counted six. I'm sorry.
Linebacker, offensive tackle, interior offensive line, defensive tackle, running back.
Okay, got you.
Yeah, I didn't put wide receiver or anything like that in there. Rank those five needs. If you want to throw in a wild card, you can. But rank the needs 1 through 5
okay.
for the Cowboys.
Right now?
Right now.
I'm sorry.
O-line.
Run that back for me.
O-line, D-line.
Well, he had offensive tackle, interior offensive line is two different ones.
Two different ones.
So which one do you think?
Oh, so give me an O-tackle.
Okay.
Okay, if it's there. Those are interchangeable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Based upon the scenario you just presented.
Sure. Yeah.
Give me a left tackle. Okay. Give me a D-tackle.
Absolutely.
Give me a running back.
Yep.
Give me a linebacker. Give me another linebacker.
Just need bodies there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're... this is with my mindset of what I'm hearing in terms of guys going back to the original positions and things of that nature, and the word that Mike has been told that he's going to be a stand-up D. That's 3-4.
Yeah.
That's 3-4.
Yeah, it is.
Okay? If you're running a 3-4, you need 8 linebackers on your roster.
And how many do you have
now? Have two.
You have three.
Maybe four.
You have three. You have three. You have
Overshown.
DeMar Clark, DeMarvin Overshown, Eric Kendricks. You got three, at least.
Are we counting? How
many do you think will be on the final 53? I'm talking traditional off-the-ball linebackers. How many do you think will be on the 53?
You'd have to fit Kendrick, five or six. You'd have five to fit or six.
Six.
You have to have six.
You don't think you can get one of those guys at least in undrafted rookie free agency?
No, you very well may. You very well may. But I'm just saying that you have, if you're running a 3-4 scheme, coupled with the changes in special teams on kickoff, right? You're going to use a lot of linebackers.
A lot of talk about getting bigger at linebacker, too.
You have to. You're running a 3-4. You have three linemen spread across five offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Linemen are getting up to linebackers now, if that's going to be the scheme, the primary scheme. Not saying that's all they're going to run. If you're primarily running a 3-4 defense, offensive guards are uncovered. They are working up. They're going to chip on the nose tackle, and they're working up to your linebackers. Be 235 pounds if you want to.
They're chipping you. Yeah.
You know, lift you like a forklift.
If they're running a 3-4, is Micah considered a linebacker?
He's a stand-up. He's a stand-up outside linebacker.
So would he be a part of your 8 is what I'm asking.
Yes, he is.
So he would be.
He would be classified as a linebacker. He'll love that conversation for negotiations.
He would hate that. Kendricks, Clark, Parsons, Overshown.
Hopefully Overshown.
There's 4. And then, Marquise, I mean, outside Bell. Of that, you've got like a mixture of guys. You've got Marquise Bell. Yeah. You've got Tyrus Wheat. You've got Buddy Johnson.
Too small in the system.
Viliami Fajoko. He's a big body.
He's a stand-up.
He could be there.
He's a stand-up man.
He played it at San Jose State.
Outside linebacker. Let me use the right term.
Was it San Jose? No, San Jose.
San Jose State.
San Jose?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm mixing them in San Diego State. The yellow and blue.
Yeah.
That's San Jose.
San Jose State. Yeah. Spartans.
Yeah, so those are outside linebackers. But typically, outside linebackers, like D. Ware was an outside linebacker.
Yeah, he was.
Just to put that in context, okay? When he first got here, he was that stand-up defensive end, a.k.a. outside linebacker. I'm worried. I'm just being honest. I'm being straight, no chaser. If that is going to be the primary system, I am concerned.
I'm
concerned about how Zimmer's going to affect his draft.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of pressure is he going to apply in that room, in the war room, when these names start popping off the board?
The only thing I'll say about that is we have not seen this team draft when Mike McCarthy is in the final year of his contract. Mm-hmm. And he knows that he needs help on this offense. So while I agree with you on that, I think anybody listening to this, don't think that means that they're just going to be, hey, Zimmer's a new DC, let's give him everything that he wants, because I think we're not the only ones that understand that they need offensive line help badly, and that you're probably not going to find that outside of the first 2 days in terms of immediate help.
You know, and it's interesting to think about that element to it as well, the way that the hierarchy works. I mean, it's always been front office first, and I'm putting the scouting department and Will McClay in that front office category. Then you've got Mike McCarthy, who does have an impact on who they take. He does have a decision in that room, maybe not the final decision, but a big contributing factor to that decision. Then you've had Dan Quinn, who's also had a legitimate amount of opinion and input into that decision as well. Will Zimmer have that same level of input? And will Mike McCarthy have that same level of input? Because he's saying the same thing. I need to win now. I need to draft guys that are NFL ready now, because I've got 1 year left on my contract and I want to win as much as possible, even with the current cap situation. But when you're the front office and you're looking at it as a long-term deal, how much are they going to push away from that one-year mindset and say, we need to pick guys that are going to be good for the long term?
If this offense was just loaded and a bunch of guys were under contracts, I can see where you're coming from, where they might be like, we can handle another offensive weapon, but do we really need one? There's no way that anybody, let's say there's coaching staff's completely removed and it's just the scouting staff front office, there's no way you look at that offensive line and go, no, we can just kind of patch this together with some duct tape and WD-40. Like, no, that's not happening. They know that they need,
that's a good point,
you know, some help there. I don't want to get too far off track, but just because you said this, I have to ask you. If somebody came to you and they were like, the roster's been completely clear, the coaching staff, everything's gone, all we're doing, number one thing, we're building around Micah Parsons, what do you think's the best defense for him? Because the way you're talking about the 3-4, while it might not be fitting this personnel, to me, I'm the type of person of, I need my best players in the best position to have success. And to me, Micah Parsons isn't going anywhere. So for you, take everything out of it. Forget the coaching staff, last year contract, everybody else that's on the team, what they have right now. Oh, it's just Micah Parsons is the only person, and you're in charge of this entire organization. What's the best way to utilize Micah Parsons? So to like his point, you have him still playing his best later in the years and wrecking games at the highest level he possibly can do that.
Yeah, it's a good question. I believe that I want to say that the 4-3 and the 3-4 are equal for him in terms of opportunity. The thing is, you want to get him isolated as much as possible. If you put Micah in a 3-4 where he's standing up and coming off the edge, yes, he has great matchups in terms of his ability to have those one-on-ones, but also there's a huge opportunity for them just to go the opposite direction and run the ball, right? So, like, having him in a 4-3, you and you would like to discourage them from running the rock, right? And you have more guys to take up more blockers. They can't double team you as much. So I personally like the 4-3 better for Micah, especially with the personnel that is currently on this roster. Mm-hmm. But I get your point in terms of having him standing up on the edge versus guys. But you could fan. All you're going to get is a fan call, and the guard and that tackle are going to turn and go out to him, and the center is going to turn to that defensive end that they had, supposedly.
Is there really such thing as a true 4-3 and a true 3-4 anymore in the NFL? I mean, I feel like every team runs a variable defense, a variable front that ends up being multiple. Mm-hmm. But if I'm saying the same thing, I'm saying the same thing as you, is if there was a 100% you're running 4-3 or 3-4, I would rather have him as a 4-3 because I think it benefits him and the other guys around him a little more. And you can hide him in a lot of that too.
4-3 staying on one edge, or 4-3 like he's been used moving around
back
all the time?
Back and 4-3 both sides. Yeah, I don't think if you're trying to utilize Micah in the right way, you're not going to keep him in one spot. Like, that's just not how it works. There are guys in the NFL where it works for them. I mean, you think about guys like Bosa or T.J. Watt and how those guys work. They can work off of Miles Garrett, one singular side, and have success regardless. Micah's strength comes from his versatility.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's had any impact on maybe a little later in the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Like, I don't want to say burnt out because that was a key word towards the end of the season, but that's kind of what it looked like. I mean, you saw him get completely wiped out of games late in the season. Green Bay is a perfect example. I think it really started to turn around the Seattle game. Okay. I think that's kind of when you started.
It's a good game.
It was. It's kind of when you quit noticing his impact on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Because there's always one, two plays every quarter where he's either getting in on the action or he's getting a sack. And that's when you started to see that kind of decline from there. Seattle game was kind of when it started to get noticeable. So maybe a couple weeks before that, maybe a week or so after that, give or take. But I think that very well could, because you have him lining up in different directions. You have him going up against different body types. You have him taking on different kind of loads every week. I think that definitely plays a part in it. Conditioning is going to be a huge factor going into this offseason for him. But also, he did a lot of boxing work last offseason. He's going to have to do even more because at the end of the day, he is a smaller pass rusher. And he's going to have to take on bigger guys. He's always going to rely on his athleticism. But what happens when you can't rely on your athleticism? What are you going to do? And I haven't seen that kind of click for him yet in his 3 years now. So I need to see a little bit more of an element from him whenever someone can line up with him athletically, like a Jordan Mailata has been able to do a couple of times, or various left tackles as well.
I like it. There's a lot of conversations that go into the draft pick in general, and I think all of these conversations are being had across the hall because it's not just a lock that it's an offensive lineman early. If, let's say, one of these top edge rushers is there and they're sitting at 24, maybe you have a conversation, because you don't know what you have on the defensive side of the football right now. Top defensive tackle, same thing. You don't know what you have. I think you said 80%, I think it's even more. I think I'd say 85 to 90% it's going to be an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman.
I'm just hedging my bet a little bit.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
92.5%.
There's no such thing as a 100%. no such thing as a 100%
the board changes.
In the NFL draft. Yes, so keep that in mind. All right, when we come back, let's talk about some of the not-so-much needs. There's not a whole lot of them. I feel like you could probably address any position on this roster when we come back here on Talking Cowboys.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP. That's getjackblack.com. JackBlack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. I almost spilled my Black Rifle Coffee on this laptop earlier. That would have been
bad. Don't you do it.
Nope. This segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. And I want to remind you, of course, we are 9 days away from the NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan. The DallasCowboys.com Star Magazine draft guide. Nick Harris contributes. I contributed. We've got Nick Eatman. We've got Patrick Walker. Got so many different storylines. Grab your copy today. Print copies are available now. So if you try to go buy your print copy, get your hard copy, and it wasn't able to initially, it's available now.
Go do it now.
It's only $10.
Do it.
$10 is all it takes to get one of these.
You'll be the smartest guy in the draft room.
100%.
Smartest guy in the living room.
That's what we're here for. We do it in season, make you the smartest guy watching TV. And then now you've got Nick Harris.
Do a doggone good job with that.
I appreciate that.
It's actually, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And it's rewarding when you get to see it and hear all the stories of people reading it. If you did get your copy, by the way, send us a picture on Twitter. Go ahead and tweet it at us. Show us that you have your copy and that you're supporting. All right. We haven't talked a ton of draft prospects specifically, more so about the needs and the fits for this Dallas Cowboys team. I've got another hot topic question. When would be the earliest you could see Dallas taking a quarterback?
24. No. I'd be surprised if they take one at all.
At all.
Yeah, I would be right? too. I think this is a situation that if Michael Pratt from Tulane slips to like the fifth round or a Jordan Travis slips to the sixth. Yeah, you would love that. You would love that. then that's probably where you... That's probably where you think about it, but you don't need a quarterback in this draft. You need a lot of other things.
Yep.
I think quarterback, tight end, and safety, you don't need to address in this draft. And some people give me hell over safety. I do not think you need to draft a safety in this class.
Okay.
I agree. Those are the three positions that you're safe with. Everything else
is on the table?
You can make an argument for.
Okay. What about tight end? Why do you think tight end is no longer available?
I mean, you spent the second round pick on it last year. Jake Ferguson exceeded expectations last year. Mm-hmm. You got John Stevens Jr. coming back. You got Peyton Hendershot coming back. I mean, you're going to have competition in that room. Maybe you go get a guy in the undrafted pool, just kind of throw in that mix and kind of beef up the competition in that room, similar to what John Stevens Jr. did last year. But, I mean, you have four guys that were capable of making a 53-man roster last year coming back next season. And when you look at all the needs on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, you don't need a tight end.
I mean, they found Peyton Hendershot. McCune was serviceable. John Stevens. These guys are all undrafted guys. If they needed another guy in the room, that makes sense. And I would be more open to a lot of those things. But as you mentioned, they just don't have the number of picks and the holes that they have in other spots. There's just so much greater needs.
And fullback. You don't need to address
fullback. Obviously.
No, yeah. Why is that, Nick?
Oh, man. Just I think you got the best fullback in the NFL on the team, you know?
Is he the only fullback in the NFL?
No. He's Jack.
Go to Baltimore, sir.
There's still like 10.
You're right.
Go to Baltimore, go to San Francisco.
Tongue-in-cheek, guys. Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, tongue-in-cheek.
But, yeah, Kyle Juszczyk. I know. I get it. Hunter Lickey, the big guy,
Baltimore
big 4-0, who likes to fumble at the goal line.
Baltimore has 555 pounds in their backfield now.
I think Lipke is going to be more of a factor this year than he was last
year.
Really? I think so, too.
Of course you think so. We can't take anything you say seriously.
I say that unbiased. Like, let me take my Lipke hat off for a minute. I think he will be, too.
I'm just saying, like, off-season conversations I've had with people that are in positions to know these things will tell you that I think – Lipke will have more, and I think Kevontae Turpin as a receiver will have more.
We've talked about it before that this team is so good at snagging the post-draft process and taking advantage of that. I mean, TJ Bass, I had a fourth-round grade on the guy last year, and they got him undrafted. He could possibly be your rotational starter on the interior, depending on what happens. Like, really, truly, it could happen. Then you've got Hunter Lipke. I had a fifth-round grade on him last year, and he could be a significant piece of your offense. John Stevens Jr., what he's brought to the table as well. I mean, they have that. But with all that being said, and maybe the possibilities of those positions notwithstanding, is it more likely to see a trade-back scenario this year than in recent memory?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
Yeah. You look at missing the fourth-round pick. You look at needing
which, by the way, if you want to talk about taking a quarterback, the Cowboys took a quarterback with their fourth-round pick. That's what they've done.
Oh, yeah.
They traded for Trey Lance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I thought you were talking about that. I was like, that was years ago. What are we talking about?
I'm talking about trading that fourth-round pick that they had this for this draft. They've already used it on a quarterback. So
that's very fair.
I know there's some national conversation about taking a quarterback. Don't expect it.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think you need to trade back. If the guy you love at 24 is not there, get on the phone. Pick up an extra pick or two and start filling those needs with some more picks.
What do you think?
I agree. I would like to see offensive tackle taken, obviously. But to your point, if the guy that you love is not there, then get out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're at the part of the first round where you're either going to get your guy or you're not going to get your guy. You're either going to be in love or you're not going to be in love. Yeah. So if you're not in love, then go play the field.
Well, and a big part of it, too, is that as we sit here today, I mean, when you're at 24, so much stuff has to happen that you can sit here today and you can have multiple calls out saying, yeah, you know, we got three different partners to move back with. Mm-hmm. So probably a good chance Cowboys are going to trade back. Well, and then stuff falls a certain way in those first 20, 23 picks. And all of a sudden those teams aren't interested. And you're sitting there like, well, I thought we were going to be able to trade back. And stuff doesn't. Or something happens where there's a player sliding that maybe you're not interested in, but somebody else is. And all of a sudden you get that call. When you're on the clock at 24,
teams are
hoping to
overpay.
Yeah, so they'll be prepared for it, but it's hard to predict right now because you don't know who's going to be there. It'd be way easier if we were doing this show and they were on pick 20 right now and being like, "Well, these guys are all available," and the Cowboys like all these guys. I bet you they can move back 4 or 5 spots and still get one of these guys. This is, I think they would love that scenario. They would love to find a path there to move back a handful of spots, gain a third rounder, in the process. But it just will that be there? The thing that they won't be doing is they won't be trading up.
No, not happening.
Simple math here. You just add this offseason and how conservative and boring it's been in terms of adding players. There hasn't been any aggressiveness at all with the fact that they haven't traded up since Mo Claiborne in 2012. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a long track record of not trading up. Traded back twice since then, once with the Frederick, once with, the Micah Parsons pick.
Yeah.
But moving up, plus I don't think that there's anybody in this draft that they would move up for. And when I say move up, I don't mean move from 24 to 15. I mean, we even move up 5 spots. I don't see them doing that.
Maybe like a Taliese Fuaga. Is that who you were going to say?
That's the one guy I think they get on the phone.
How far up would you move for that?
You would have to get 18. Inside the top 15 to do it. And I think that's about as far as they're going to go.
I think
if they were to do it.
If he's still on the board at like 16, you get on the phone with whoever has 18. I think it's maybe Jacksonville or Seattle.
Cincy,
yeah. You get on the phone with Cincy and start kind of working the phones there, and you have to kind of parlay some picks next year. I think the one bit of breathing room that you do have if you want to trade up is the fact that you're probably going to have a lot of comp picks next year. So yeah. It depends how aggressive you want to be there. But I think if Fuaga is falling and they view him as the left tackle of the future, then I could see them being aggressive and going to grab him.
I personally do not think that the Dallas Cowboys will trade up in the first round with Jerry Jones as owner. ever again unless it's a quarterback.
Yeah.
If they trade up in the first round, it'll be because of quarterback. I don't see them doing it for another position player again. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Isaiah, what do you think about Taliesi Fuaga out of Oregon State? What do you think about him?
I don't like the school he went to, but he's a big boy.
They're not even the same conference anymore. There's no beef anymore.
They got left in the wasteland. he's a big boy. 6'6", 324, huh? He can play.
That might be your one guy, but I don't think it's happening.
No, I don't see them trading up, man. This is, again, we're talking about going out and grabbing a guy that you would really love, but you're sacrificing the roster spots that you really need to attend to. So even if there's a guy that's absolutely amazing, I still don't think that you can pull the trigger. I think you put yourself at an extreme disadvantage. You're going into this draft with an extreme disadvantage. So to go out there and be like, oh, yeah, we locked this one. We got that one position on lock. But now we have all these holes and we lost draft picks. You know, I can't foresee that happening.
Well, how would you feel if that first round pick is a center?
I wouldn't just be opposed to it. If he was a dog.
Yeah.
If he was an absolute dog, then obviously then at that point, then you have to move Tyler Smith out.
There's two guys for you. It's Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson. Those are your two.
I think Zach Frazier, you can make the argument.
You think for a first round, 24 overall?
Oh, no.
I think he's a trade back scenario.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about 24 specifically?
Yeah, 24 specifically. If they take one of those two centers at 24, how are you guys feeling? Let's say one of those two centers is the pick.
I would feel great if it's Graham Barton.
Same.
Oh, man. I would be cartwheels if it's Graham Barton. I don't think he's going to be there, one. And two, Jackson Powers Johnson, I think he's great on film. The medicals are a little concerning of what we've been hearing. That's about it. Like, outside of the medicals, I think he's a great player, and he may be legitimate for years to come. But it's just, with the 24th pick, you got to be sure.
He's going to have to grow schematically as well. Yeah. I think that there had to be a lot of teaching between now and training camp. But we'll see. That would be one where you should kind of wait and see. But you bank on the traits there, and he's got them. So.
I just kind of wonder, from a down-the-road standpoint of, can you pay a center big time money? Let's say that they identify one of those two guys and they are a 10-year Travis Frederick, you know, where it's like, oh, obviously if Travis Frederick never has Guillain Barré, you know, still the center of the team right now, you have him for 10 years, can you pay him and Tyler and then whoever your left tackle is and your quarterback and Micah and CD? And, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's one thing about center where I'm just like, if that's your key piece there, that's gonna, because I feel like where they're at right now at center, they'll just rotate in somebody, a young kid every 4 or 5 years, move on to the next one type thing like that.
Yeah.
But to be able to find that left tackle that you could have there for 10, 15 years, like pay them, you know, top of the market, I think that's completely worth it, you know?
Yeah.
But if you have a generational talent at center, I guess you got to do it too. I mean, Creed Humphrey seems like he's doing a good job.
And, yeah. Winning Super Bowls. Yeah, so. He's done a couple good things along the way.
I just think there's a decent chance that that's the pick, and I'm interested to see the way that the fan base will react to a center being their first pick in the draft.
Just know that you're getting your left tackle at the same time.
Yeah.
His name is Tyler Smith.
Yeah. If you draft the center, you have your left tackle.
And then Brock Hoffman or T.J. Bass is
your guard.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it simple. It simplifies your decisions. You know what you have at the offensive line at that point.
Yeah. What's your confidence level in Tyler Smith at left tackle for a full season?
I need to see more of it. I haven't seen it since his rookie year.
Yeah.
So
he was good. He was solid.
He was good. Yeah. I mean,
super solid.
He wasn't an all pro.
But
he has a positional flex. I mean, get him reps.
I don't know if I've been around it like a younger type player though that has the right mentality more than he does. Yeah.
Willing, able.
Yeah. He checks off every box. Yep. You couldn't get a better person to be in that situation.
He's possibly a top five guy in that locker room.
I think
he's everything that they've ever wanted at that spot and more. All right, that does it for us here on Talking Cowboys. Quick announcement. This is my last Talking Cowboys for the foreseeable future. I'm not going away forever.
Come on.
Don't worry. Not going away forever. The babies are coming home today. Sure. So we've got two of the three coming home today. Today is day 53 of them being in the NICU. So awesome. I'm taking my leave starting next week. Okay. And Josh Rodriguez will be hosting Talking Cowboys for the foreseeable future. So really excited about that. It's likely that my leave would be up. Maybe I could get one show in In the next couple, I could get one show in coming up soon, but it'll probably be training camp. Will be the next time that I'll be back on the air. So it's for good reasons.
It's your fire.
Good reasons, but I will be back soon, and I will certainly be watching and interacting on Twitter.
He'll come back with just bags under his eyes.
That's probably true. That is probably true. That does it for us. For Jasmine Marshall in the back, for Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, Bobby Belt tapping on the glass. I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!